Lord willing, we'll leave in a little while and go to Diana Avenue in Thomasville. That's home. But one of these days, I'm going to go somewhere a little bit further. But it's not going to take me near as long to get there. Once I leave, I'm going to be there before I know I'm gone. And I thank the Lord for that. I've enjoyed the singing. I appreciate it tonight. Ezra chapter 4, I want to look through this book just a little bit more. Ezra is a man of God. He's a scribe, he's a priest. He searched the Word of God and realized that what they were living was not what the Bible says they should be living. And I'm afraid if we do the same, we'd find out the same. If we ever get back to what the Bible really says, I'm afraid we'd find out we're not near as close to it and to the Lord as we think we are. But I say almost without any hesitation whatsoever, all of us are not what we used to be. I say that with some reluctance because you may be closer than you ever have been before. I don't know that. But I do know this, we can always get closer no matter what. And then as far as our day, as far as the average church, as far as the average church member, as far as the average Christian, for sure, we ought to get closer than we are now. And I believe that's the Lord's desire. Chapter 4, they're back in the land of Judah, and they're beginning to build the temple back. Of course, they started with the altar, and then they started with the foundation of the temple. And as soon as they get started, even really before they even get started, there's some adversaries, there's enemies. The Samaritans, we call them, those people who have been living there in that country of Judah while the people of Israel, while the two tribes to the south are have been in captivity, these people have been living there. They think it's their home. Now these people have come back, and they are two, three of them. So they come. Their desire is to hinder. Their desire is to stop the work of God in the building of the temple and even the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and the walls. But they don't come first with a sword. They come with a smile, and they say, let us join with you. We're just like you. But the Lord gave Zerubbabel and the people of Judah discernment, and they said, no, you're not like us, and no, you can't help us. You do not qualify according to the Word of God. And they weren't just doing that because they were mean. They're doing that because, listen, we need to get right with the Lord. We need to get back where we used to be. And in doing that, we better make sure there's nothing that's going to hinder. One of the worst things that can happen to any of us is to get liberal or compromise. We'll not go forward if we do. We'll go backward. But then beginning in, let me see where I need to go ahead. Let me read verse 5. Let's go in verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. For all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they hired counselors. They hired these people. It's a little bit unsure what these counselors were, whether they were advisors or whether they were like governors. But one thing for sure, they were in with King Cyrus, and they were in communication with him. So these Samaritans said, we'll know what we'll do. We'll get in. The people of Judah won't let us in. We'll get in with the people of Cyrus. And they more or less bribed these officials to lie, to hinder, to communicate with Cyrus. Now listen, Cyrus is a king. And legally, politically, if anything happens as far as the rebuilding of the temple, Cyrus has to put his stamp of approval on it, and he has thus far. But these people are going to try and do everything it says to frustrate. It literally means to break up. They aren't going to be satisfied with slowing it down. They want this building project stopped. There's such an animosity against God's people and God's Word. Guess what? There still is. The devil and all his demons and the people that hate God's work, unless you forgot it, they're against you. And the devil do all he can to hinder us, listen to me, to get from getting back to where we used to be. If we ain't careful, we'll listen. Verse 6, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So these people wrote the king. Now there's a change, notice. In the reign of Ahasuerus, there's Cyrus the king is dead. And a new king is on the throne of Persia. And these people get a little nervous and they think, wonder what this king's going to be like. So they don't waste time. Listen, they don't waste time. They immediately, in the beginning of his reign, they write a letter and they talk about these people of Judah. And again, their desire is to hinder. This is the first letter that's sent to the king. So now this name is a title, like Pharaoh, like president. We call our leader of our country president. They called their leader by this name. This is probably Cambyses, the son of Cyrus, but we don't know for sure. But they wrote a letter of accusation. They said, these people down here, they talk about doing such good work. You better watch them. We don't know what was in this letter. We aren't told. And we don't know if the king replied. We're not told. But we do know the letter was written. Look in verse 7. In the days of Artaxerxes. Now notice there's another king. Time's going on. Time is progressing. In fact, if you look at what's going on here, Ezra verses 1 through 5 states the facts. Now listen closely. And starting in verse 6, he takes a step back and does an overview of what's going to happen. We do that in movies. You do that in your conversation. You watch a movie and what's going on right in the present. All of a sudden, everything's changed. You notice people look a little different. And what they've done is they've gone into the future and they're letting you know what's going to happen. Then all of a sudden, it changes back and it's in the present again. Well, that's exactly what Ezra does. In verses 6 through 23, he takes a step back and he does an overview of the next about 16 years of what's going to happen. And he does that, I believe, because he wants to show us that this hatred for God's people is not just a few people, not just for a few days, but it goes on and on and on. And when one of this bunch dies out, another takes his place. So he's trying to show us just how much these people hate God and His work and God's people. I just want to let you know, this thing of having an enemy, it ain't going to let up. It's not going to get easier. Now, it's really encouraging, isn't it? Our hardest days, I almost hesitate to say this, but I say it because it's true. Our worst days may yet be ahead as far as our attack from the enemy and his fight on us. But I'll say it right now, if his fight gets worse, the grace of God will get better and get bigger and get more sufficient. So what we're finding here is Ezra is saying, well, Cyrus lived and died, and Ahasuerus lived and died, and now Artaxerxes, another king, has come. Verse 7, and the king in the days of Artaxerxes rose Bishlam and Mithridath and Tabael and the rest of their companions, and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. So they write a letter in their own language in the language of Artaxerxes and says, this bunch down here, they ain't getting any better. Another letter of accusation to the new king. Once again, new king's on the throne. They're not about to let things go, these enemies. for the people of Judah, still fighting back, still opposing, doing their best to stop and hinder. Look at verse 8. Rehum, the counselor, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter, another letter, against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king of this sword. If I'm counting right, that's three letters that's been sent to the kings of Persia. And the reason they're doing it is because they realize the authority of the king. That king can help the work of God in Judah, or hinder the work of God, or even stop the word of God. So these Samaritans are doing all they can to influence the king, trying to get him to, hey, look at these people. You better look real close. They aren't what they claim to be. So this next letter comes, and it's, notice how it's worded in this verse. To Jerusalem, to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sword. It means the same thing again, the same complaint, the same accusations, the same lies. They just keep saying the same thing. The devil doesn't give up. Look in verse 9 and verse 10. Then wrote Rehum the counselor, and Shimshai the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Dinatites, and the Aphrasakites, and the Tarpalites, and the Apharisites, and the Argvites, and the Babylonians, and the Susankites, and the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations who the great Nob Ashnapper brought over, and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side of the river, and at such a time. Well, that's a mouthful to say, but what it's saying is this. They joined together. One thing for sure, the devil's crowd's united. His demons are united. His world is united against God's people and God's work. And just to sort of throw in, there's nine nations mentioned here. Here's what they're doing. They're writing a letter. And all these nations, all these people in this area have signed their names and say, we agree with this letter. We're against this work. We're against these people. And just to make sure at the end it says, and the rest that are on this side of the river. They said, just in case everybody else says the same thing. So they're trying to put weight on this letter. They're writing to a king who's over all these nations, over all these people. And they're saying, if you want to know what we feel about it, if you want to know what your people think about it, here's what we think. Here's what we think you ought to do. Verse 12. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundation. Well, they said to the king, this latest king, these people that you sent back, at least Cyrus did, we just want to let you know what they're doing. They are a rebellious and a bad city. Well, in some ways, from their opinion, Judah was. Jerusalem was. Because Jerusalem and Judah and God's people are always opposed to the devil and his work, to the opposed to the world. Hey, I got news for you. The world doesn't love you. The world doesn't love the church. The world doesn't think we're good old boys that deserve to be blessed and tax-free and all kinds of good stuff happen. They think we're a drain to society and a dregs of the society, and the real world hates us and wants to harm us and hinder us, and because they hate the God we love. And that's what's going on here. These are a rebellious people. They're building a bad city. And to be honest, nothing could have been further from the truth at that time. Because to be honest, they're pretty weak. They have been drained. You remember, this is going through several years of time. And the process of time is draining them. But these people who ride the king don't care if they're telling the truth or not. They just want the king to say, stop the work right now. And they have to stretch the truth a little bit or lie. What difference does that make? It's okay as long as they get their way. And that's exactly what the devil will do. He is an accuser. Sometimes what he accuses us of is the truth. He says, Rick sinned and I did. Bill said something he shouldn't, and Bill said something he shouldn't. Sometimes this accusation to the Lord is against us and is telling the truth, but sometimes it's just a bunch of lies. He not only accuses us before the Lord, but do you realize the devil will accuse you to yourself? He'll remind you how guilty you are and how weak you are and unable you are. And those things are true. But he wants us to stay in that depressed and discouraged and defeated place instead of going on by and going on past and say, oh, yes, I am weak, but my Savior is strong, and I am not alone in my weakness. I have his sufficiency for me. And the devil will accuse you. He'll talk about how inadequate you are and how unworthy you are and how guilty you are. Notice what it says. Have set up the walls thereof. Well, that's just a lie. They had not finished the wall. In fact, later on, they admit that the walls aren't complete. Remember now, the city of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar, years before, came and just wiped out the city, tore down the temple, tore down the walls for the most part, and the city's still a mess. Well, these people are saying, they're getting a lot done. You better watch out. The walls, if you know anything much about this, didn't get built until Nehemiah came later on. But again, these people don't care if they're telling the truth or not. Look in verse 13. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endanger the revenue of the king. Well, what good citizens they were, hypocrites. They said, we just want to let you know, king, if you let this work progress and you let them build the city and you let them build the walls and you let them rebuild and listen, get back to where they used to be, you're going to have some trouble with them. And one thing for sure, you'll not get any taxes out of this bunch. They'll neither pay toll, tribute, or custom. Different types of taxes that were paid during that day that everybody had to pay. And these people that were writing the letters said, you let them go. You let them get a little bit stronger. You let them keep building. One of these days you'll regret it, because today when they get finished, they'll say, hey, we're strong enough now where we ain't going to listen to the king, and we surely aren't going to send our taxes to him. And as a king, when your kingdom and your welfare depends on taxes, one of the scariest things you can hear is that bunch over there, that big bunch of people, oh, they ain't going to pay taxes. It's, for an ungodly king, this is one of the worst things he could hear. And it says, thou shalt endanger the revenue of the kings. They're just saying, if you don't do something, and they get built, and they get back to where they used to be, and they stop paying taxes, we want to let you know right now, it's going to be your fault. You can't blame us. You're the one that made the decision to let them keep on building. You didn't stop it, so when it comes true like we're telling you, you just will realize it's your fault. They'll endanger the revenue of the kings. Well, they sound so politically correct. They sound like such good citizens. They want the king to have all the taxes he needs, but you know what? They're a bunch of hypocrites. They didn't like taxes any better than anybody else. Anybody likes taxes, there's something wacko about them. I'll just tell you that. I don't mind paying. It's what keeps us going. I want our roads smooth just like you do. But, well, you know what I'm saying. Ain't no need going into that. I'll get sidetracked for sure. I'll be fussing about everybody in the office in a minute. But he says there, we have sent and certified the king. The word certified means to make known. We want to tell you something, king. You ain't in the dark about it. We've told you. We've let you know. I said again, if anything happens bad, we want to let you know you cannot blame us. You're the one that let it happen because we told you it was going to happen. And then notice in verse 15, that search, they still writing the king. They're saying, this is what we recommend. The search be made in the books of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records. And know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. They said, king, I tell you what you need to do. Have somebody search the records. They kept records. Like we keep minutes of what's been done or what's been said in a courtroom where they record every word. They kept records in those days, and they kept them in archives or in buildings, and they had a very established system where they labeled the records, where they could go and find a particular record quite easily. Alexander the Great used this, their record-keeping system, that when he took office. So these people said, go search the records. Remember a long time ago when talked about Cyrus, and how he had his words when he said, let the people go back and let them rebuild the temple. Remember I said that he had it put into writing? Well, that's what they're saying now. You go back and search those writings, search those records, and find out what Cyrus really did say. See, by this time, they don't know. They probably think Cyrus didn't really give permission. So their plan's about to backfire. So they told the king, why don't you have somebody search the records and you'll find out that these people are rebellious, that they do have a history of doing wrong. Notice what it says, for which cause was this city, Jerusalem, destroyed? They said, you won't know why the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. We know the reason. Because these people right here sinned against their God. This is lost people talking. And they were telling the truth. Because do you remember? It was their sin that brought judgment. It was their sin that brought them out of Jerusalem. It was their sin that took them into Babylonian captivity. It was their sin that had destroyed the city of Jerusalem. It was Judah's fault. By the way, any loss that we have, anytime God has to deal with us or judge us, it's because we deserve it. It's not because he messes up and overreacts. It's because we deserve it. Look in verse 16. We certify the king that if this city be built again and the walls thereof set up. See, if the walls be set up. They said just a little bit ago, the walls are already finished. Well, why are they talking about if the walls be set up now? Because they hadn't been set up. We certify the king that if this city be built again and the walls thereof be set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Man, they've expanded. See, now the river Euphrates, we're talking about on the west side. It's what all this Judah and all the land, the people of Israel are settling in. They first say the city, those people in that city, they're not going to pay taxes. Now they're broadening it. They say the whole bunch on the west side of the Euphrates, you're not getting any taxes from anybody. They're saying if you let Judah rebuild and they get strong, all these people throughout these lands are going to see what they did. And they're going to say, hey, if the people of Judah ain't got to pay taxes, neither do I. So these people who are writing the king saying, you better watch what's going on. Because if you leave it alone, it's going to get worse. He said, you'll have no portion. Could have said again, an ungodly king who depends on taxes, that'd scare him to death. And here's what's going on. He said, listen to me. Listen, If you let them go, they're going to get more powerful, and you're going to lose control. Do you understand what I'm saying at all with this series about Ezra? If we get stronger in the Lord and closer to the Lord, the devil's going to lose power over us. And the flesh won't be as near overwhelming and in control. And that's exactly what we're wanting. But these people aren't wanting that. And they're warning the king that it's going to happen if he doesn't do something. Verse 17, then sent the king an answer. The answer comes now. The other two letters, we don't have any record that they were even answered. But this one was. Then sent the king an answer to Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria and to the rest beyond the river. Peace! And at such a time, the letter which she sent unto us hath been plainly read before me. The king said, I got your letter, and it was read to me. And I commanded, verse 19, and I commanded, and search had been made, and it is found, they searched the records, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and their rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Well, we can look at this two different ways. He said, I didn't have the records checked, and the records do show, history does prove, that these people have been against government, sedition, insurrection in the past. From his point of view, he's saying, you're right, they have been troublemakers in the past. Sure would love it if the devil called me a troublemaker, that if he thought I'd stirred up trouble in his kingdom, and it caused him problems. So we got to look at who's saying what. If your enemy says you're a troublemaker, that's good. If your friend says you're a troublemaker, you better examine why they're saying it. And these are the enemy saying, yeah, they have caused trouble. They have been against us. And there had been times in Israel's past. Oh, 12 tribes, really. 2 Kings 18, 2 Kings 24, 2 Kings 24, 20, 2 Chronicles 36. Where they had resisted and rebelled against evil governments. And the Bible no doubt tells us that we are to submit to the government. There's no doubt about that. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. There's no doubt we're supposed to be good citizens and obey the laws until the laws say something that's against the law of the Bible. And then we're supposed to obey the Lord. Remember the midwives in Pharaoh's day, Moses' day? They feared the Lord and they didn't kill the babies like the law said to Pharaoh. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that broke the law to pray? Remember Daniel, or they wouldn't bow, excuse me. And remember Daniel, how he broke the law and prayed anyway? Because the law said, you don't do what God told you to do. And if we're to choose of doing what God says or what man says, guess what? We always obey God. And these people of Israel had obeyed God in the past. And now the world is saying, hey, they are troublemakers. Then notice in verse 20, there have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and tribute and custom was paid unto them. He said, two things about the people of Judah in their past. Listen, what they used to be. What they used to be. We need to get back to what we used to be. What they used to be was a troublemaker for the enemy. Troublemaker for the devil. A burr under the saddle of the enemy, the devil. Wouldn't that be good? But also not only a troublemaker to the enemy, but listen, they didn't pay toll. They had mighty kings. They were troublemakers, but listen, they were mighty kings. God had expanded David and Solomon at least. Their kingdoms had grown. So what am I saying? Used to be they were troublemakers for the devil. and doing great things for God. God was blessing. And he's looking in the past and saying, here's what they used to be. I'm telling you, wouldn't it be a blessing if we became troublemakers for the devil like never before, or at least as much as we used to be? And that God could use us and bless us and expand us spiritually like we used to be, or maybe more than ever. I thought about this and hadn't said it yet, and I'm running behind schedule already, but I need to say it here. A lot of these people that came back from Babylon that had been in Babylon in captivity, a lot of them have been born in Babylon. Remember when they set the foundation of the temple? Some were excited because they had never seen the temple at all. And some were sad because they remembered Herod's temple, the first great temple. Now, Solomon's temple. Keep saying Herod, Solomon's temple. There were some there that needed to get back to where they used to be. There were some that needed to experience something they had never experienced before. Some in the church have no idea what a real move of God is because they've never seen it. Some are old enough to remember it, but it's a faint memory, and we need to get back to where we were. There's the book of Ezra, if you can grasp that. So verse 21, give ye now, this is the king talking to the men, people of Judah, the Samaritans. Give ye now commandment and cause these men to cease, that the city be not builded unto another commandment shall be given from me. Now remember, this is still looking to the future. And the king says, I looked in the records, and what you said about these people are true. They were troublemakers to the kingdom, and they were blessed somehow. So you tell them, you make them do whatever you have to do. You stop the work on the temple. You stop the work in the city. You stop them from doing any, not let one more piece of work be done. Stop them until I give you further word, until I give you another commandment. Don't let them do anything. Verse 20. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Take heed means to grasp hold of, to seize. He said, you make sure you get this. Don't let this slip by. Hear what I'm saying and do what I'm saying exactly like I said. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Do what I say and don't do anything else. Do not fail. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Man, there's stuff in that verse. Remember, this is the enemy saying to his fellow enemy, his comrades. Here's the enemy saying to the enemy what they're going to do about the work of God. They say, the king says, you better listen to what I'm saying, because if you don't, those people are going to grow, they're going to develop, they are going to get back to what they used to be. And he says it like this, why should damage grow to the hurt of the king? He said, if you don't do something, it's going to get worse, and it's going to come back to get up. They're going to cause damage. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the devil said, boy, we got to do something about true gospel, because if I don't do something about that bunch, they're going to do some damage to my kingdom. Those people are getting woke up. They're getting wakened up. They're getting stirred up. They're getting excited. They're getting thrilled. They're getting close. If I don't do something, they're going to do some damage to my kingdom. That's exactly what the king is saying to his people. Verse 23, now when the copy of the king of Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem and the Jews and made them cease from by force and power. Then the work of the house of God, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. the king said, you go tell them to stop and do whatever it takes. And they came, and the Bible says they made them cease by force and by power. The word force literally means to arm, and the word power means army. We're not told what they did, but they showed some force. They came to the people of Judah who are building. And they say, the king says you got to stop. And verse 24 says they stopped. I believe the verse is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Because God had said, you go back and you rebuild. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put you back where you were. And now because the enemy says stop, they stop. And they're going to stop for about 16 years. And if we're not careful, we'll let the same kind of thing happen to us. Wonder how long it's been since you first heard in your heart, boy, I sure ought to get closer to the Lord. I sure do need to pray more. I sure do need to love Him more. I sure do need to walk closer. I wonder how long has it been? How long has it been since you thought, boy, I need to get back where I used to be? Now, it may have been tonight, but it probably was last month, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And yet we're delaying, we're laying around, we're not working, we're not striving toward that. Like these people, they ceased. Now listen, I'm about done. I'll go ahead and say it. I'm done. Let me get done. The law said, the king, stop. So, who cares? God said, go. And it was not the king that stopped them or the adversaries that stopped them. They stopped themselves. Because we're going to find out when Ezra comes and in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, they start building again even though the king says don't. And they didn't have to stop. They didn't have to stop. Had they just trusted God, God would have given them the grace needed and the protection needed to go on. Well, I hope you got it, because I can't say anything else to make it any clearer. I encourage you to read this book. I was talking to somebody today. All this history stuff can be boring. But I'll tell you one thing, if you read it as much as I have, it gets so interesting, even with the kings. And all, there's some truths in here that says, wow, isn't that wonderful? Read the book. Read from chapter 1 to chapter 6, and then we'll move on later on. And let's stand together.